John 14:8 through 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. Let us thine influence prove. Source of the old prophetic fire, fountain of life and love. Come, Holy Ghost, for moved by thee, the prophets wrote and spoke. Unlock the truth, thyself the key, unseal the sacred book. Amen. Today is Pentecost, one of the high church days, one of the feasts of the church. And as you know, we were going to celebrate it one way, and instead we end up celebrating it another way. Often this day will include sorts of celebrations with balloons and birthday cakes as a sign that this is the church's birthday. Reflecting the story told to us in the book of Acts, we remember that by the power of the Spirit which was given and hung like flames above each of those in the upper room, and so inspired and so touched, they went forth and proclaimed out in the public square to those who had gathered around the temple the good news of Jesus Christ. And while that is an honest and good way to look at this day, sometimes it brings upon us a sort of sense that we are not the church that we ought to be, or we are not the people that we ought to be, because in some way we don't evidence such incredible activity and such incredible results and such courage. Rather, today, though, I would want us to step back and remember who you are and who God is, so that we understand that you are who you need to be, and that the gift of the Spirit is not an opportunity for you to lament what you're not be, but an opportunity to celebrate what you are becoming and what you will be. The story of God's love is not confined to one part of the Bible. It's not confined to Jesus. It's not confined to the prophets. It's not confined to the Holy Spirit. It isn't confined in heaven. It isn't confined in the past. The story of God's good news for you and for me and for the church and for the world is a story that is simple in its telling and yet eternal. It is rooted in God's eternal purposes for you and for me and for the world and for creation. What are those purposes? That there would be a people to love, that there would be a people to be in community with God, that there would be a creation in which the people could thrive and enjoy each other, creation and God. And that these people would be an example, a portrait, a visible sign of an invisible God, a visible sign of the love and power of God, a visible sign that God is at work. And you are. You're a visible sign. Each Christian is a visible sign of God at work. Each church is a visible sign of God at work. And each activity, action that we take is a visible sign of God at work. This story of salvation cannot be divided. It is shared by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no division in their intent or purpose. They are one. And we celebrate that mystery when we proclaim the Trinity as three persons, one God. The person of the Holy Spirit has already been given to you, and you are acquainted with God's Holy Spirit in deep and wonderful ways. The first way that you are acquainted with God's Holy Spirit is in the depths of your being. For in each of us dwells, not to be located in our hearts or minds, but somewhere deep within us, a sense of holiness, a sense of what is right and wrong, a sense of mystery, a sense of desire that's holy and wholesome. And in our best moments, whether they be here during church, during worship, or in service in some activity, or in the moment that we start the day, or in the moment in which we take a deep breath at work and say, Lord, help me, we are acquainted in a deep and wonderful way with the Holy Spirit. Every time we forsake an evil or sinful path, we're acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Every time that by some mysterious motivation we reach out and do for someone the thing that they needed done, the very thing that we could do for them, and we get a sense of God working in us and going, whoa, where did that come from? We're acquainted with the Holy Spirit. So each of you have been given the Holy Spirit, and you know this in the depths of who you are. There's another way in which we visibly show forth the Holy Spirit. It's rooted in how we treat each other. It's that we love each other, that we do the right thing by each other, that we do not speak ill of each other behind each other's back, that we say the things that encourage and do the things that help and strengthen. See, God has called us to do that. And we can remember that from Matthew 25, where Jesus says, you know, in as much as you have done it to these, the least, you've done it to me. We know in some way the way we act is a visible sign of God's power, God's presence, God's love in us. Paul, over and over, urges his readers, his listeners, to love one another. Even more important, while we have that sense of spirit within us and we exhibit that spirit towards others in our community, loving one another, we are called also to make visible the power and presence of God in the way we see and look at the world around us. You cannot separate these three things any more than you can separate God into parts. They are together. To have one is to have all three. To have none is to have none. To have all three is to have one. As we look about us in the world today, how we look, how we see, how we act, how we respond becomes a visible sign of who God is. Back to Matthew 25, which reminds us that Jesus does expect us to see Christ in others, to see his activity in the needs and the desperation of others. Sometime during this week, I can guarantee you that Christ will present Christ's self to you in some kind of visible form, tangible form, that will require you to see Christ where usually you would not think it would be located. Somewhere, maybe in your family circle, maybe in your group of friends, maybe within this congregation, maybe within the work group that you work with, maybe within your neighborhood, maybe a complete stranger, you will be looking face to face with the Christ in another, in their need, in their desperation, in their moment when they need to be loved. The power of the Spirit is already known to you. And as we trust the Spirit in our interactions with others, with each other, and within ourselves, what begins to happen is, as Paul says in the Ephesian letter, evil has no room. He reminds the Ephesians, make no room for evil. And it works just the same to keep on pushing evil away, robbing evil of its space to be visible, to be known, to exist. The power of the Spirit is not just to make a bunch of people look drunk in the morning and get a lot of people excited. The power of the Spirit isn't just to clean you up. The power of the Spirit isn't just to remind us that God is Spirit. The power of the Spirit is meant to make visible the love of God and his saving power in this moment and every moment, by the way we live, by the way we act, and by the way we speak. You are already Spirit-filled. Trust the Spirit and act as a visible sign of the love of God in all you say and do. Amen.